We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. How many don't feel very royal or priestly? But I'm glad that Christ has made it clear what he thinks of us. Okay. A holy nation, his own special people. I love in other translations, it says peculiar people. Like, all right, that just validates everything about me. Okay. All right. So peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Anybody been called out in a good way by God? Come on. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. They weren't a people, but now they're the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Can someone give God a hand for that right now? Somebody at home, you better be excited. I don't care if your dog doesn't look excited. Getting saved today. Come on, it's going to be a good day in God's house. You know, I was thinking about this because as the world continues to get crazier and crazier, there's so much hate being spewed. And you know what? I also am very aware, and I think you're very aware, that America tends to go down these very dark roads, especially on election years. I'm just saying, what I've come to realize is that although we can't change everything about our world, we can change what we do in our world, which does change the worlds. We have the ability, you have the ability to understand what God wants from you and how God wants you to respond, and you at home to respond as someone who says yes to Christ. You may say, hey, I never said yes to Christ. I just happened to wander in here. I happened to wander there yesterday. You may be here and say, like, I don't know any of this. I just want to share with you God's word. I want to share with you the gospel. And I want you to understand that God, he created us. The Bible says he knit us together in our mother's womb. I'd say he was pretty involved. Okay? What that means is he has a purpose and a plan for your life. You could be 72 years old today, and if you're still breathing, there's still purpose in your life. Come on. And so I want to help us understand that God calls you peculiar for a reason. You're special for a reason. But you're supposed to stand out from what's happening around you. Not pick up a stone with everyone else and start throwing. All right? We are a chosen people. Whew. I'm jumping right into it because I always run out of time. You notice that? I blame you for that, but I always run out of time. So I'm jumping right into it. Listen, number one, the thing I need you to know is we are called to be a different kind of kind. I'm talking kindness. I'm talking about loving your enemy. I'm talking about stop seeing people as your enemy and see them the way God sees them. I'm talking about being a Christian indeed, not just in word. I'm talking about actually being the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the peculiar people that seem to love everybody, regardless of who agrees with them. And now I'm not saying that we shouldn't actually stand up for God's truth. I'm not saying that. What I love is that God's truth will always rise to the top. You know, and so as I think about God, you've called us to be a different kind of kind. Not kind only when people are kind to me, but kind regardless of what they've done to me. And it's that kind of crazy kind of kind that will change the world. It's that crazy kind of kind that will change people's perceptions about God because they see you proclaim God, so you may be the only Jesus they ever meet. That's a lot of responsibility, but God has a lot of grace and mercy. Come on, those that seek God's face, they're going to receive that grace. Oh, all right. Listen, we are called to be a different kind of kind. Look what it says in Matthew 5:13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What does that mean? There's a purpose to salt, and it's a beneficial kind of purpose. And when it loses its benefits of seasoning, have you ever had something? You're like, man, I need some salt on this. Like, I mean, I know I cooked it right, but I need some salt on this. If you cooked it, maybe you're like, I know I didn't cook this right, so I need some salt. You know what I'm saying? But there's a kind of seasoning that comes with salt. If you don't use enough seasoning, didn't make a difference. If you overwhelm somebody with your seasoning, if you beat them up with the word of God rather than season it through kindness and love, come on. I tell people all the time, I remember being a teenager and going to Applebee's when you had no money. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember you would always have to check the salt shaker before you poured it out because somebody could have twisted it off and just set it there. And you go to pour it out and it's like, and you're like, check please. You over-seasoning doesn't help either. So somebody can be the most passionate Christian ever, but over-season every conversation they ever have, and it comes across a lack of genuineness. It comes across too much, highlighting hypocritical natures. It comes across way too judgmental. God wants us to be a different kind of kinds, and we're called to be salt in the earth. Okay, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. So not only are you supposed to be different, not only is our life supposed to season this world with what God desires, and you know, sprinkle a little love into that situation, you know what I'm saying? But on top of it, he goes, oh, and by the way, as things get darker, you're gonna shine. You're gonna be a different kind of people. You're gonna be peculiar. You ever think about fireflies? Their butt just lights up. Whoa, that was weird. I remember watching a Disney movie with my kids in like Louisiana, the bayou, and they had this little firefly who really brought to light what it would be like to have your bum, yeah, what is it? Princess and the Frog. Thank you, princess. Listen, and it just kind of shows this concept of like what it would be like to literally light up. It's just that for me, my mind, I'm sorry. But the point is this. If somebody was shining a light, people would be like, that's different. What is that? That was a different interaction than I've ever had. They shouldn't have acted like that. They shouldn't have been that kind of kind in that kind of situation. It's something different. And so it's really important for us to question, how well am I seasoning my salvation onto this earth? How well am I helping others come to know Christ without overwhelming them? Come on, salt is powerful, right? Oh, and I could get into what salt is. You want to break down, what does salt do? Salt is a softener. If you season it properly, you are going to soften that hardened heart. It's a preserver. I can break down what salt does, but listen, we're called to be salt and light. God is expecting you to be a different kind in this world. Do you get that? The way we live, the way we love, our kindness needs to be a different kind, and it's gotta be led by Christ's example and guided by the Holy Spirit inside of us. If you're getting this, just say, I got it. Because I'll just keep breaking it down and talking about fireflies' butts. There's going to be kids at home right now streaming this with their parents like, this was the coolest message ever. Listen, a different kind of people, that different kind of people, number two, remember God loves all his creation, not just me. Like, that's a big deal. You know, can't remember where I heard it, where I read it, but I heard this saying that the easiest way to know that you have created God in your own image is when you believe he hates all the people you hate. What does that mean? Because last I checked, we were made in his image and we're supposed to reflect his love to the world. And when you start to truly believe he dislikes the people you dislike, you messed up. Okay. This is a hard word for some of y'all. Listen to what this says. For God so loved the world, not only his church. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's a big deal, because when I remind myself in the heat of a moment when something went bad or where, oh, come on, we've all gone unsaintly before. We've all had moments before, but when we remind ourselves that Jesus died for them just as much as he died for me, and that this interaction might be able to change their perception, and maybe I should grow up and act more like a Christian indeed, not just in word. A different kind of kinds. See, not that just God loved the church. He loved the world. He still loves the world. He's still trying to reach the world. That's why the church exists. We're not a country club. We're a hospital. Someone say, man, that church is full of hypocrites. And I say, yeah, we got room for you too. All they ever do is judge. I rather understand God's word and pay attention to how he's going to judge me than worry about judging someone else. You ever see, though, you know, somebody has a tattoo like only God will judge me? They need to go get the next part and he will. Listen, this isn't a love for his church alone. He's looking to bring the whole world back into relationship with him, and he's looking for you to help. How well am I helping bring a lost world? How well am I helping people that love to be ugly come to know Christ? How am I helping rather than just trying to be winning? Oftentimes we focus more on winning the argument than winning the soul. Somebody got to get that. Okay? When someone's like, yep, they need Jesus. Y'all need Jesus. Listen. So we, the church of Jesus, are called to show his love to a hurting world, which God loves and whom Jesus loves so much he died for. So as we look at the world in the middle of this absolutely crazy season, this difficult season, the world dealing with a new virus and desperately seeking a solution, we're praying for that, hello? I'm praying that there's a solution, because people are dying. We have to remind ourselves that, yes, it may not be as bad as some thought. It may be worse than some others thought, but we need God to show up, okay? But then in the middle of it, as we look at our nation, in the middle of this divided, hate-spewing election year, as we try to navigate wrongs that need to be righted and deal with human injustice, as we see a world that only points fingers at each other, I say now more than ever, we need to point our prayers toward the only one that can help. We need to be a different kind to our world by praying for those who hate us, by praying for those who don't understand us, because at one point we didn't understand. We got to be a different kind, y'all. I'm allowed to say y'all because I was born in Virginia. Listen, different kind people ask themselves hard questions like, number three, does God actually think what I am thinking? Does God actually, someone's like, man, I did not have enough coffee to deal with this message this morning. Does God actually think what I am thinking? I know the right way to present this is to say, do I have the same mind of God? Remember, we did the One Mind series. We're to be in one mind, not just in unity. Not that that means we all have the exact same belief as far as what happens outside of the body of Christ, but that we have the same unity, understanding who God is, right? I'm not saying we all have to go and do everything the same. But I always highlight this. Matthew was a tax collector who worked for the Roman government, and Peter was a zealot who hated the Roman government, yet they broke bread daily and found a way to be in peace together in Jesus' name. It's not like we're living in something unprecedented. We just have to understand what God says stands, regardless of how I was brought up, regardless of my point of view from this world, regardless of the angle that I see, my perception, God's word stands, because it's either inerrant, which allows us to believe upon him, accept Christ, and get into heaven, Or what are we doing? We're not a copy and paste, pick a few scriptures kind of church. We're not a pull string faith. We only repeat the same four scriptures because they help us rather than the ones that convict us. I don't know how we're growing the church like this, but we are. It's unbelievable. Present God's word and let him do his thing. But does God actually think what I am thinking? See, I understand. I'm telling you, I understand we should be presenting this. Not does God think what I'm thinking, but do I think what God thinks, right? But it seems too many people believe God believes the exact same thing they do. So we've got to present it in this other way to stir a little commotion, right? And so as though every thought they have is only ever God inspired. That's what some people think. We live in a fallen world, y'all. Which means we have fallen thoughts. Which means the Bible, when it said take captive every thought, it means there are plenty of them you need to subdue. There are plenty of them you need to lock up, not act upon, yeah? And so, what do you think God is thinking? If we can't be sure he thinks what I think, what does he think? I know when he sees this hurting world, he hurts for the world because he knows they didn't have to choose what they chose, but yet free will has put us into a tailspin. So I ask you today, do you believe you are on the same page with God in your thinking? And if so, point to that page to show me you are. What am I saying? Well, listen here. If you believe you are thinking the same way God thinks, then show me in the scripture where he thinks the way that you're doing what you're doing is okay. This is how we come to refine ourselves through God's Holy Spirit working in us. This is how we look into the word and let the word look into us. And whatever is not aligned, we do some spiritual chiropractic. And sometimes it hurts when they yank on the neck. Someone's like, you need a new chiropractor. That's not normal. Listen, we need to be able to focus on what God says. Many of our thoughts must be tested. We must seek God and ask him to vindicate us, to search us, right? Psalm says, vindicate me, O Lord, according to your righteousness, not according to what I think. Search me. Let me know what I need to change because I want to be more like you. If people would just understand, God wants a breathing relationship with us now. He wants to be proud of us now. He wants to be able to see us live the life he's called us to now. It's not just about a ticket getting to heaven just so we don't go to hell. Like, it's a breathing relationship. The reason he sent Jesus wasn't just, oh, well, you know, we need to make sure they can get to heaven. It's like, I so desperately love them and want them in relationship with me. I'm going to do something that can alter their state there and will for eternally alter their state here. Yeah? Okay, I hope you're getting this. It's a little quiet. So what do you think God thinks when he looks down on his creation? The world we see, the nation we see, the struggles we're going through. I can tell you, God hurts when those are hurting. He wants to see love, not just being right. He created a world, and he loves the whole world. For God so loved the, okay. Four different kind of people know we must pray to see change. Not just talk about it, not just complain about it, not just tweet about it. We must pray about it. Not just for us, but for our people, our nation, our world. We must seek the God that loves us and we must ask him for help. Second Chronicles says this, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal, restore their land. My eyes will be open, my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. A lot of people, I would strongly recommend a book called Killing Kryptonite from John Bevere. He's an amazing author and evangelist and speaker, not just around the country, but around the world. And he actually talks about what the unity would look like in the church. We can agree to disagree on many things, but agree honorably to disagree, right? But if we could be in unity, we can see God's miracles, his restoration, right now. But the problem is, can we go back to that scripture for me for a minute? The problem is, if they will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Too many people are asking for God's favor in their wickedness. Too many people are saying, God, I need you to show up, but I have no intention of not sleeping with her anymore. I need you to fix this busted up relationship that's not supposed to happen right now, biblically, but I need your favor on it. Someone's like, I don't know whether to clap because that was an ouch. But we wonder why we don't see God move in our life, but we're not turning from our wicked ways and we're not actually seeking his face. We're lobbing up a Hail Mary to see if something will change. The church is not about just gathering and happy and clappy. It's about being iron sharpening iron, about us becoming more like Christ, about us being a different kind of kind. Oh, I think you're awake now. We must understand the power of prayer that comes in the name of Jesus. It was him who told us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, or abide, as you abide in me and I abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Too many people lobbing up prayers and there's no abiding. Chad, that's judgment. You're judging someone. Well, the reality is if somebody knows what the word of God says and they choose not to do it, they've judged themselves. I'm not judging anything. I'm just saying if I want to be in God's favor, I want to walk in God's favor. I'm not going to abuse grace. I'm going to understand he so loves me. He so loves the world. I'm going to pray, but I'm certainly going to consider my ways. When I say vindicate me, O Lord, I mean it based on your righteousness, not my opinion. Okay. All right. I don't got much more time. James also tells us in 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who makes us righteous? Jesus. It's not our works. But the Bible also says we're known by our fruits, which is how we live. So I know it's not based on my works, but if there's a transformation within me, it should show. Remember, I talked to you when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. What is the first thing he said? Loose him. What is he saying? Take off those grave clothes. Too many of us have come to Christ and we're still hopping around in grave clothes. God wants to see a transformation in us and he has enough grace and love to work with us. Come on, how many are excited about that? Different kind of people know God loves when we love those we disagree with. If we're going to be a different kind in this world, then we can't be driven by emotions. We must be calm, collected, and calculated. Like, did he say calculus? I'm bad at that. No. I'm saying we've got to consider our ways. We've got to be the good Samaritan. We've got to consider, regardless of what the world thinks, I'm going to do what's right here. Even if they agree or disagree with me. Do you understand the power of the good Samaritan was based on the Samaritan had been hated upon. They were considered half-breeds. They were even called half-breeds from the Jewish community. So when the good Samaritan decided to show love to the very people that hated on him, that's what was miraculous about it. What am I saying? What I just said in point number 5. God loves when we love those who disagree with us or that we disagree with. Because I'll tell you right now, the good Samaritan disagreed with how he was being treated, but he chose not to let that be the standard as he treated other people. Our nation's going through a very dark time, a time of hate. For a world to think that God is okay with hating certain groups of people, they would be illiterate to the scripture. God makes it clear to love everyone, which means you cannot isolate anyone, which means you can't just make statements that isolate everyone else and think it's okay. On both sides, people. Are you getting this? We don't isolate any group. We love every group. If the church doesn't stand up and act like the church of Jesus, if we don't start deciding that we're going to look like the peculiar people that actually love people regardless of how they vote, regardless of what they think, there could be other ideologies. And some are so like, no, they're idiotologies. All right. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. God made it clear to everyone, even those who would consider someone as an enemy. He's like, no, you can love that person. Matthew 5:43, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. So when we choose to love our enemy, we become like God's children acting out the Father's will, right? He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, reward, what reward will you get? Are you not even the, sorry, I'm so focused on why this isn't centered. It's driving me nuts. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we go, I can't be perfect. But apparently we can love those that hate us because God would never ask us to do the things we couldn't do. Now, you may say, I can't do it. And I would say, without the Holy Spirit's help, you're right. Without being led by the Spirit to do things. Some of you may have experienced the very moment where you sat down with somebody that you've had serious problems with, and all of a sudden there was a peace that came over you, and you were saying things you never thought you would ever say to them. And you're like, no way, I just said that. And God's like, I helped you do the right thing because that's what I do. God loves when we choose to love those we'd rather hate. Those who believe in Christ need to lead in choosing to disagree agreeably. You can disagree, but we can do it in a way that doesn't affect our unity. We can do it in a way where I go, hey, that's fine. All right, you're gonna vote like that. Okay, well, I believe that I have a revelation on why, and I'm gonna go to the scripture and I'm gonna work out my faith with fear and trembling. Hello, the scripture. All I'm saying is, if a tax collector who worked for the government could sit down and break bread with a zealot who hated the government, maybe we could work better at being brothers and sisters. Hey, just maybe we could be a different kind in this world. Maybe we would reflect more of who Christ is. Is it possible to disagree completely with someone's ideology while still respecting and valuing him or her as an individual who is also formed in God's image? Of course it is. But you've got to remind yourself that when you see all the negativity and all the hate and all the people that aren't doing it, you can do it. You can be a special person. You can be a peculiar people. We got to remind ourselves that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We royally mess some things up too, don't we? But through his righteousness, he called us to be his hands and feet. You could have a million reasons why you believe you're right. You could even have the scripture in context to back you up. But if you do not deal in love and kindness, where you can then represent God to his fullness, then you're messing up. The Bible says without love, you're like a clanging cymbal. I would just go clang that cymbal right now if it wouldn't mess up the beautiful piano play. We must learn to disagree agreeably. That's what I'm saying, church. Again, it's possible. People say, why don't you just say it like this? Or why don't you just say it like that? And they're blown away that half of the church is on one side of the political aisle and half of the church is on the other. And I say, that's how you can have unity when you focus on the scripture alone. Sola scriptura, anybody? Sola Christus, come on, Christ alone, scripture alone. We focus on the things that matter. And I'm gonna tell you this, and you gotta hear me. We zoom in on me on that thing. All right, you two, everybody here, you in the back and you on your couch, you've gotta determine, are you a Republican or a Democrat that goes to church? Or are you a Christian who has interest in political issues? You have to decide that. You have to decide that. We need to be a different kind in this world of hates. And lastly, because I'm out of time, which I still blame on you, a different kind of people find peace in Christ to face our world. They're enabled by Christ's kindness to be a different kind to our world. I love this scripture in John 16. It says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. In who? In Jesus. Not based on the social climate, the political climate, the economical climate, that you would have peace in me. Because here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus already said, it's not going to be a cakewalk even when you know me. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Man, when we come to Christ, we can have peace in the middle of a storm. The storm may rage, but he can bring a peace, a calmness in your spirit and in your hearts to know that regardless who's in the White House, God's still on the throne. I want to pray with you as we close. You may have come in here, you may have followed somebody's share online, and you're hearing all of this and you're saying, wow, this doesn't sound like the church I expected to hear. Can I tell you, this is the Jesus that we come to. It's his kind of love that draws all people to himself. You know, the Bible says if we lift up Christ, if Jesus be lifted up, he would draw all people to himself. I want you to know God loves you. He wants relationship with you. He wants to forgive your past. He already knows about the skeletons in your closet. He just wants to be able to forgive you so that he can give you favor and you can move forward in the purpose that he intended for the air that's still in your lungs.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.